This is gonna be a meeting of the Lake Butler City Commission. Today's date is May 18th, 2021, time is 6:32 PM. I'd like to welcome everybody. Roll call, Commissioner Sermons.
Here.
Commissioner Beasley.
Here.
Commissioner Redmond.
Here.
Commissioner Stegall.
Here.
Myself, Jake Schenk, is here. If you all would, please stand for a prayer and pledge.
Let us pray. God of peace, we invite you to preside over this meeting. Even if we have different opinions, give us unity of spirit. We thank you for each and every one who is here today. You have blessed us with supported people who seek the welfare of your people and within your church, the school system, businesses, and communities. Father, we pray for healing within this nation and nations everywhere because we all belong to you. We pray that you will help leaders, give them wisdom, strength, and understanding. We pray for the needs of our loved ones, neighbors, co-workers, and friends. Again, help us to always be Christ-like in our words, deeds, and actions. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Item number four, approval of the agenda format.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda format.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, upon recognition by the mayor, any person may address the commission on any subject not included on the agenda. Speakers are requested to give their name and address to the recording clerk for the record and to come forward to the commission table when speaking. Please be as brief as possible and limit your remarks to 4 minutes. The commission can grant additional time if necessary. No official action can be taken, but direction may be given to staff. Okay, consent agenda. Oh, there's Sarah. Oh, I was looking over there. I guess we need to get a dog report.
There's no discussion. I make a motion to approve the consent agenda included and act upon with one motion.
No second.
Opposed? Okay, monthly financial reporting for period ending March 31st, 2021.
Okay, so as promised, after last month, thank you for graciously giving me an extension. We experienced the middle of the fiscal year. It was halfway over. Revenues on the general side have been received as expected. On the enterprise side, the water and wastewater revenues are running a little lower than we would like to see them. We've had some internal discussions about this, but it's being addressed. The solid waste fund seems strong, and there are a few expenditures that, of course, are a little glaring, as in we have increased operational issues like the pumps going out and just our routine items that we see every year about this time points to our aging infrastructure. Our legal expenses, our contracted legal, is a little higher than normal because we're using the, we're paying for the contracted, sorry, the attorney out of Tallahassee for the acquisition of the land for the Union Wastewater Treatment Plant. On the public works side, some of the salaries are a little off. We've utilized more part-time staff. We've had vacancies on the full-time staff and then, but supplementing with part-time. So we need to just, that can be addressed with some budget adjustments. It's somewhat a similar story for the April financials. Oh, I'm sorry, let me go back to March and we'll approve March or accept March. But do you have any questions? I'm sorry, I did not include a transmittal letter. To give you an overview for the month. My apologies.
So this is
March.
This is March, yeah, for the period ending March 31st.
Any questions?
No.
I'll make a motion to approve the financial reporting for the period of October 1st, 2020 through March 31st, 2021.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, item number 3, monthly financial reporting for period ending April 30th, 2021.
Okay, so this month was a little different. We started cleaning up with some of the journal entries, the adjusting journal entries after receiving the audit last month. So our assets and liabilities will reflect as much. So that's what we spent a great deal of time working on. Similar story for the revenue. On the revenue side, it was strong in the general fund as anticipated in light of the pandemic. But we also budgeted accordingly, and similar for on the enterprise side, water and wastewater not coming in quite as strong as we would like, but we're still in a good position in those funds. Next month, you can expect to see some budget adjustments to just so that we'll even out some of these areas that are coming in over expenditures, the overs and under expenditures. Can you say that right? Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I just realized this is my last presentation for the giving you the financial reporting. It's a little more emotional than I thought.
Do we got any questions?
Questions? No? Okay.
You got a motion?
No, there's no questions. I'll make a motion to approve the monthly financial reporting for the period of October 1st, 2020 through April 30th, 2021.
David, do we have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item number 4, Swanee River Water Management District Minimum Lake Levels Presentation.
All right.
Can I help you?
Well, didn't rehearse where I was going to be exactly.
Well, if you'd like, this is the next one.
Okay.
It's not
right now. I imagine I can just work it on the table.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for having us here today. My name is Louis Mantini. I'm an environmental scientist with the district. And I have my lifeline with me today, my boss, Sean King. I've been with the district for 20 years, worked with the Fish and Wildlife Commission for 10 years previously. Sean has a lot of diverse experience as well in Southwest Florida Water Management District and consulting, and he's moved over to the Swan River Water Mansion District. Step up, of course, and we are really proud to be able to present to you the minimum closing levels, the minimum lake levels that we've proposed for the lake. It has a lot to do with management of our water resources, groundwater resources in particular. And let's see if I can, there we are. To begin with, we have some general specs for Lake Butler. The great thing about Lake Butler, and I can say it's just, you know, it's quite the jewel for this city and this county. It has the lake and the upper Santa Fe water base, the watershed is mostly forested. So there's a lot of watershed protection. The lake has great water quality. It has, you know, just terrific communities and plant communities and great fishing, I can say firsthand. So we take very seriously being able to help protect these resources. We, you know, whether it's through stormwater permitting, in our environmental resource permitting, protection of wetlands, and like I said, groundwater permitting as well to water use permitting. A minimum flow is a level that we are required to by statute to set that would prevent significant harm of a resource. And in particular on the lake, we use this these MFLs as a water supply planning and water use permitting. And I also included in your notes some of the links or what we actually have for water supply planning, which is, you know, projections and assessments of water that's available now and water that may be available in the future. An MFL is an acceptable stage in elevation, and what we have here is a hydrograph. And what it is lake stage that's been plotted over a period of years. And what we have here is the historic lake level. And we have to decide, we have to determine what acceptable shift we would have before we would have significant harm to the resources. Right now, in the process, the board has authorized the initiation of the rural development, which will basically be a change to the Florida Administrative Code, and that's Chapter 48. We have been gathering information for actually quite a while. The water levels, which are used as part of the equation, have been gathered since 1957. We went out and had contractors going out in 2012 to gather information for the natural communities on the lake, and we came back in 2016 to actually beef up some of that field work. We have a guidance in the Florida Administrative Code, Chapter 6240, that provides us with this punch list of items that we can basically choose to determine. These are called water resource values or environmental values, and we try to choose which is most applicable to the particular resource that we're studying. In this case, I have highlighted fish and wildlife habitats. If you ran through the list, you might not understand why we might not choose something like estuarine resources. But there are other things that we could also look at. And things to do with maintenance of freshwater storage and supply, and also water quality, things like that. But for us to look at the entire flow regime, or stage regime, I should say, from low water levels, high water levels, we have a lot of different things that we can look at. A lot of things we can measure out in the lake to be able to make a sound scientific judgment. In the case of Lake Butler, we chose two communities to focus on, and one is the basin swamp that surrounds the lake, and the other is the deep marsh communities. Both are subject to their own events that are defined in St. John's Water Management District rules, methods that were used to develop these by. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. But in the swamps, they basically are going to function at their best and remain intact if they're flooded for a minimum duration of 30 days every 2 years. The deep marsh, that's the lily pads around the lake. If you would think that having low water is such a great idea, but when you have stabilized water levels, a lot of times what you have is flocculent sediments that begin to form, and they have to dry out every once in a while. And that's why these communities need to be exposed every once in a while. Not too often, though. The basin swamp was basically, it was surveyed along transects in five locations around the lake. I'll show you on the map. And this is around the north end of the lake. This is a typical swamp that many of you are probably familiar with it. Anywhere between the water's edge and where, you know, basically the pine trees and the palmettos. And what we did was actually determine, you know, the various plant species that would occur along these transects, and get an idea of the densities and you know, the actual elements or the various species that occur in these communities. And that helps define what we want to protect there. What we used was the average elevation of these swamps. This is actually a cross-section of the lake, okay? Deep water in the middle, you know, go out to the edges and have the uplands on the edges. And like I said, between, you know, the emergent vegetation and the uplands, you have the basin swamp. And what we determine is an average elevation of that. That's one of the key metrics we use in protecting this community. And I'll say a little bit more about that. The locations of the various transects were mostly around the north end of the lake. And they were chosen because we were able to work with the foresters to obtain access. And that way we weren't stepping on any private property owners, and it was pretty easy to get to and easy to survey. The deep marsh was represented by this particular plant species here. It's called newfar, also calla lily. And not so much in this lake, but if you were to go to Lake Hampton, you'd notice a definite edge between the calla lilies and, say, the sawgrass, the emergent sawgrass around the edge. And that is what we're keying on in this lake. Basically, where these things played out in shallow water was the landward extent of this deep marsh community. And what we used was the average elevation in the equation to protect this community. Both of these, where we measured these, were on the southwest, the southeast corners of the lake. That's where the best stands were that we could use. So we got a couple of elevations, all right? And What we want to do, like I said, is protect the overall, the high flow, the high stages and the low stages on the lake. And the whole regime, as far as the stages are concerned, the lake. So, in order to determine whether these communities are either flooding on a regular basis, like they should, or if they're drying out periodically as they should, we have to actually use a model, a lake water budget model, to show over time that these levels have been met, and then also to project in the future whether or not, you know, when we start withdrawing water, if we're going to make it to where these, you know, these elevations or these flooding events are not going to be met. What we use, and this is what looks okay. This is what our stages, our frequent high level and our frequent low level looks like when you put it against the historic lake stage hydrograph of the lake. Like I said, beginning back in 1957, you can see where the lake fluctuated. You know, it began around 130 average above sea level, basically. There's a little bit of pause there between 66 and 74, when data was not collected. And then you can see the extreme droughts, bless you. You can see in 01, 08, 09, you can also make out the peaks that would have been some of the hurricanes and the flooding in 98, say, or Dora in 65, or 64, I guess. The hurricanes in the early 2005, so 2004, 2005, you can see where they bumped up to as well. And when I look at this, and you know, when I look at these levels that I just pointed out, the frequent high, you can see where that's probably been met easily. You know, up till about 1997, you know, you could probably imagine that those swamps are getting flooded as long as they need to. And then the frequent low, you really don't want to have that more happen every, you know, more than every 5 years for a certain number, like 120 days. Well, you can see there for a couple of periods there, that was, you know, it lasted quite a bit longer during the droughts. But overall, you look for an average. So the water budget model, all the little red arrows, basically, you know, I guess you kind of, I should probably color some of them black and some of them red. There could be gains and losses, right? And it's like a big, this water budget model is like a, you know, a calculator on steroids. And you input rainfall, evaporation, surface runoff, and the big one is groundwater flow, groundwater exchange, and the two big losses to the lake are groundwater flow and also out of the ditch off under 3rd Street, where the skating rink used to be. And so, let's see if I can, there it is. When the model's all put together, there are two dark blue spots here. They're called outfalls. I'll just point them out because they're right there on the slide in. And you can see all the little sub-basins that are glued together here, and there's a general direction of flow of the water towards those blue spots. And in the model, what you do, if you want to see, you want to just predict what a withdrawal, a groundwater withdrawal will do to your lake level, you in your model, you basically, you know, just start taking water out of that middle spot in the lake and from the ground, and that'll show what it's going to do to the lake levels over time. So the bottom line, this is can somewhat speak to this, but right now, from the groundwater levels as they would be in without any impacts, we would be down 6 feet, so or a little over 6 feet from that level. We're projected by 2040 to be 9 feet down. Right now, we're meeting levels that would not cause any impacts, would not cause those flooding events or drying events to occur any more or less or more frequently. And I certainly appreciate you letting me get through that. I sure might have a few questions. And please feel free to ask.
So what has caused the low levels recently in the lake? It just drains out and goes away, or? Because we don't have a dam to keep the level of the water there.
Right. It's just, heck, this system is mostly rainfall and runoff driven anyway. It wouldn't be from large water withdrawals at present because the there's not a lot of interaction between the bottom of the lake and the aquifer that we withdraw from anyway. This part of the state has a lot of intermediate clays in the soils, and so that that actually is kind of holds it up there, but still it does, in the long run it will affect it over time, so it's mostly just with all the rain we've had, I have a hard time believing it's just, rainfall, but that's what really drives the system.
You mentioned the ditch on 3rd Avenue.
Yes, sir.
Is there something that we should be aware of that or do differently? Or?
Not really. I know that one time there was actually a control structure on it, and I think that, oh gosh, it was a few years back maybe it was the city, I can't remember if the city or the county wanted to reconstruct it. I thought it was a pretty cool idea, but it really, like I said, there could be problems with stabilizing lake levels. And the best thing about the ditch is for it to just be maintained so it can drain without problems and create problems in case, we do have these hurricane events and things like that. I'm not aware of any scouring and water quality issues that are associated with the ditch. It seems fairly historically stable to me.
Okay.
So our lake is healthy.
Very. Yes, sir.
That's what matters.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Item number 5, annexation of property.
We were going to do that this evening, but because due to the effect of the postal system not being able to get the certified signature requested mailed to the courthouse for 7 days. It's one block away. So they couldn't do it in 7 days, so they had to postpone.
Did they lose it?
That's right. I think the minutes should reflect a motion to table the second reading of that ordinance until next month.
No, that was not the recommendation. I'm sorry, that was not the recommendation of the attorney to table it. So they actually recommended this act as just a public service announcement that says
and
the
not
next
to table
reading.
It?
No, not to table it. I'm sorry when you said that and I'm like, no. That was not to table it, but just to announce that the next reading publicly will be the next June regular meeting, June the 15th, 2021 at 6 p.m.
So do we need to do anything?
No, you will see another series of advertisements in the newspaper.
Okay. Thank you.
Onward and upward. Number six, ordinance number 2021-03, historic preservation.
So Mayor, this is a historic preservation ordinance that's before you for your review and discussion when you choose to do that. We did call the historical board at the state, the PEO, and asked them about the short version that John started on. They said,
yeah,
we got much of a short version.
Yeah, no, I had to.
But we'll give you some samples of other cities that have done this, and so they did. And I sent it back to them once we typed this up, and they found it to be fine the way it was. And that's now up to you what you want to do with it, whether you want to move forward, whether you want to just think about it.
Let me mention that at the last meeting, a question was raised about the LDRs and historical preservation. And I thought that was a very good question. And I don't remember who said it, might have been Sarah, I don't know. It was addressed, and it is addressed in Section 11, which consists of about five pages. We have a procedure on the books and have had since the LDRs were adopted back in 93 for the designation of historical structures and property and archaeological treasures as well. And I tried to reach Ms. Joseph at the Planning Council because, to be candid with you, there's some legal issues, obviously, in time you're doing an ordinance, but it's also kind of a planning issue as well. And I was curious to know if they had any experience in amending the LDRs as they were presented to the various communities in 1993. And I was never able to reach to touch base with her. I will say that during my tenure on as the attorney for the commission, I do not recall any application from any person in Lake Butler or any inquiry into the code, to the code enforcement officer. I mean, I've never been advised of one, of a request to designate any property here as historic property. It may be that the land development administrator, who is the manager, has received inquiries of that nature and that I just never heard about them. I don't recall the board having ever taken it up. In that case, with what we have in the LDRs, we do not have a separate board. The commission sits as the official designor of historical properties and so forth. That is at variance to some extent with what the DEO said during their presentation to staff and Annette and myself about the state requirements, so I don't know if it would need to be amended. And since I wasn't able to get a hold of the planner, I don't know whether it's better to amend what's fairly simple that we already have, or better to embark on some more complicated type of scheme, such as what's contained here. This is briefer. This was about 25 pages as opposed to the 35 that we looked at last month. So that was, I think, something of an improvement. It's also highly more technical. And of course, I'm not a commissioner, so citizens don't call me about political issues and what have you. And I've talked to one or two commissioners and asked them if they have an idea of who it is that is interested in this issue, since none has been shown despite a mechanism in place already for something like the last 31 years. And no one's shown any interest to my knowledge for that designation. And then this creates a whole new bureaucracy that would meet people that would have to be appointed, they would have to meet, they would have to be residents of the city and so forth. And then it would give them certain powers with regard to historical properties. Having said all that, we have something on the books. It's not exactly what DEO wants. I don't really have a recommendation because there are assertions made that didn't come up during the meeting that I recall that Annette and I attended, which have to do with landowners getting grants. I don't remember that ever being discussed. Do you remember that, Annette? I don't. And so what's been presented here is if we do this, then some landowners, I'm not sure who, but some landowners can come in and they can get grants. And they did address a city grant for $50,000, which, again, that'd be a decision for the commission as to whether the joint juice is worth the squeeze to do that. But I don't know about money to the individual landowners. I know there are like three historical buildings that come to my mind in Lake Butler. One is for sale. The other one, I think the former city manager was told they couldn't do anything with taxpayer money unless it was donated to the city. And then the third one is owned by a private individual in Lake Evident. And then those are the historic kind of 19th century homes that you drive by and they stand out. And so I'm not sure where that leaves us, and I'm not sure whether the prior manager was misinformed, because I don't know where that money would come from either. Of course, I haven't looked into it. So if the idea is to do the ordinance, because there's supposed to be money that the landowners can go grab or get in order to improve their property, that's fine. But Dee, you didn't talk about that I recall. Do you?
No, I don't remember that.
And the other thing is, yes, there's a potential grant from the city of Lake Butler if we do it. But again, it gets into whether we get enough out of it to justify doing the grant at all. I don't know whether it's possible to go in and tweak what we have on the books already, and that's a little bit less complicated if we can, or whether we actually need to embark on a brand new full ordinance. In any event, the commission may just wish to go ahead and pass this thing as is and proceed with a more bureaucratic and more sophisticated plan, which I think is what the DEO would probably prefer us to do. As far as it actually putting money in the pockets of landowners, I don't know about that. And of the three really historic structures in Lake Butler, I don't know. I'm not speaking for my family, but I don't know the structure that's in my family. I don't know that designation would be sought. Another one's for sale, so I don't know if that one would be sought. And then the third one belongs to a private individual who we all know who that is. That's pretty much all that I have to say in connection with this. And I'm more than happy to continue to look into it and contact the Planning Council and see if they've dealt with this issue and whether they have discovered that major modifications to what they presented in 1993 are actually necessary. I would find it more reassuring if over the years we had some interest, because I remember that we did this facade thing as far as the CRA went, and it didn't go anywhere, and it was open for years, and as far as I know, nobody ever applied. And I would hate to see us go through this process and appoint a board and then they're just not to have any really qualifying properties or interested property owners. And that's just kind of my observation about it. And I just want to throw that out there. I mean, it's a lot, but I should throw that out there so everybody can look at the entire picture.
Yeah, I'd like to throw out that I have no problem reading 30, 40, or several hundred pages. Maybe some people do. I don't. I'd also like to throw out there that how many citizens do you think there are in this community that are even aware that the LDRs exist, let alone what's in them? The other thing is, very early on in this, I contacted, well, number one, we've got four properties that are already on the National Historic Register. The University of Florida has some book or program or whatever that they go out and they identify architecturally significant structures. And we've got 11 or 12 of those in this town. there are property owners, for instance, Brandon down here on Lake Street.
Clarence.
Clarence, that would, is anxiously awaiting this to happen because of the money that he spends on upkeep, and he can get tax breaks from both the state and feds on the money that he spends maintaining his property, which is an asset to Lake Butler, I think. I could be wrong, but I think it's an asset. Any property owner with a residence or business, commercial building that would qualify to be designated would benefit financially on the tax side for the maintenance of the property. The city could use the money, I think, to maybe talk to Mr. Whitehead about appropriating the old county jail and moving it over here to the Union Depot property. Do that with grants. The homes that are already on the National Register, the city could apply and get the money to put the signs like is in front of the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Those historic markers.
This is historic markers.
And there's current homeowners who have got that designation that would appreciate being able to have those markers placed at their residences. Maybe nobody else has heard anything and the commission was opposed to it, but I also know this, because of people I've talked to, what I've read, our LDRs, yeah, you're right, there's about five pages of them and they address the issue, but nothing in our LDRs satisfy what, what's her name, DOE, DEO?
DEO.
DEO, what they want to qualify for those tax breaks, for the grants, for the markers, anything. All that's off the table. And I understand, having dealt with government agencies for a little while, I understand they have a lot of demands before they start giving away money or allowing tax breaks. So I understand the process, and I also understand there's people that don't like dealing with those intricacies. But I'm sure Mr. McCusker, ain't you still with the historical?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure that as far as a historical preservation board, that there's people with the Union County Historical Society that would probably be more than happy to be a part of that process. I could be wrong.
This is actually the first time I've really heard of this, but I do know, you know, just listening to general comments, that, you know, I guess if you're doing it just for one person, person is better than none. I'm not sure how many historical properties there are. We don't have a historical district. We're not like Alachua or Micanopy, or we have a main corridor that's a historical district. Our main street is history, and we can address it individually with each property. But, if, I mean, you know, hey, if you want to read 35 pages or whatever, that's fine. But you're going to have a committee, you're going to have a process that you have to go through. And whether not having anyone having done it or even approached the city during my tenure that I'm aware of, prior city managers, it sounds like, and if I was Mr. Brandon in his situation, I'd probably be trying to jump on that too.
I'm only using him as an example. There are others because I corresponded with them and I got their responses. Some are interested. Some are not.
Maybe you should have a workshop.
The thing is, we can do nothing. Doing nothing is simple.
I'm not saying that. But
we're doing workshop, nothing.
I have a house. My son was across the street from Mr. Brandon's house, and it was built in 1905.
Yeah.
And that was certainly probably you know, be something that would want to be considered, but never thought about it. We always repaired it if it needed to be repaired. We always painted it when it needed to be painted. But, you know, I guess, you know, I would think that probably the direction we're going would be having a workshop and finding out what the interest of the community is.
Yeah.
I would certainly be at that workshop if I was aware of it.
Yeah. Thank you. So that's it. Comments, discussion? What is that?
No, we're not gonna do that. I think it's a good idea. I mean, you know, like I say, if we don't try it, then we don't never know. And maybe more people out there who wants to do it and doesn't know anything about it. So, okay, I'm going to make a motion to approve the first reading of the ordinance 2021-03-03, establishing the Historical Preservation Board and Historical District by title only.
Ordinance number 2021-03, an ordinance establishing a historical preservation board and procedures for identifying and protecting structures, lands, and artifacts of historical significance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Now, if for nothing else, it gives people about 30 days to discuss it and research. Number 7, employee resignation.
Mr. Mayor, it's with mixed emotions, I submit to you the resignation of Sarah Owen. We're very happy for her on her new adventure and stepping out into her new role as city manager. But I certainly am sad that the city has been, she's going to do that and leave us here by herself. But this city has been blessed to have her as an employee for the past 9 years. She's done a great job, been a huge support to me in a new community. So we all wish her well and much success in pursuit of new endeavors. And you're ready to fly from the nest.
That would be nice.
Don't cry.
What did I say? You will never see me cry.
Are you sure?
Okay. Can I say a few things?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'll stand up. This is my last commission meeting, so it is emotional. I came to work for the city about 9 years ago. I would like to thank the prior city manager, Dave McCusker, for hiring me and giving me my first opportunity. And my family, who has supported me on long nights and weekends, and the commission, who has been a tremendous support and encouraging so many of you. Thank you so much. And I remember when we were making our transition from the, you know, our from executive management when Dave McCusker retired, and we started our city manager search. I remember you were asking me what I would like in a city manager, some of you. I said, well, if you want to do something for me, I said, you know, I want to learn and I want to progress. I remember Dale Walker, his Zoom interview said part of his leadership style was succession planning. And I remember thinking, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And I remember Mayor Shank looked at me, you know, because that's exactly what I'd said. And so the last 3 years, I have been, you know, taught. Sometimes that was pretty rough. You know, I learned some pretty tough lessons, but I was always picked back up, dusted off, said, you're going to be a great kid. And so Dale has been a mentor and has taught me a tremendous amount about finance and leadership. He is, and
really, he's just taught me an enormous amount and has been prompting me for the last couple of years. I think you're getting ready. I think you're getting ready to take on your own city. And not quite. I still think I have a little bit more to learn. So the position came up for the town of Micanopy, and I decided to apply. And in fact, he said jokingly, "Listen, it's so small, you can't hardly screw this up." So I decided to apply, and we were joking, and I decided it's time for me to leave the nest. But I appreciate the guidance and direction, and I appreciate everything, all the support from the citizens. Everyone has been incredibly supportive of me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Your last day is when?
May 28th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So busy.
The last day was 28th, right?
Officially, as it approaches, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not near ready. There's so much to do. So the 28th-ish, yes, that's my last day, but I'll still be available, and I still may need to come in and get my things. If you can give me some time to, I need to work up until the 28th.
Well, we'll miss you.
Yes.
Definitely.
A big asset. So. Thank you.
Report of the city attorney.
I don't have anything to add there.
Thank you. Report of the city manager.
You have my report attached. Anybody read it? Yes. Well, there is.
Commissioner Searles, you got anything?
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Beasley?
I don't have anything.
Commissioner Redman?
Just one. Let's see. Farm share next month, June the 12th. Be there. Be there. And also last farm share, we had 295 families that we supported. Mm-hmm. And again, ma'am, thank you. She always come through for us. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's it for me.
Did I hear that we're going to get a forklift donated?
Where are you there from?
No, Pallet Jack.
Okay. Well, that's nice. Okay. All right.
Well,
hey, that'll come in handy.
Commissioner Spiegel?
I'll just chime in, Sarah, how much we appreciate everything. You were kind of one of the reasons I got involved with city government. I appreciate you welcoming me in when I moved into the community. 10 years ago, creating the community page and being my go-to conduit between the city and the community. And you kind of helped me take that next step to become a commissioner, and I appreciate you. And you'll definitely be missed.
She's going to cry.
I'm not.
And that's all I have.
Sarah, I appreciate everything you've done for me over the years, both before and after being on the commission. And a wealth of information. I'm gonna miss that resource. The Spirit of Union County Tiger Marching Band has presented the commission with a certificate thanking us for our sponsorship of them during this nice school year. I guess we got some place to put it on the wall. The only other thing I've got is an and I meant to mention it before, but I always forget. Since they were no longer able to have yard sales down at Sprinkle Field, I've been asked if there would be any possibility of maybe in the spring and in the fall having a single day down at the Lakeside Park designated for people to do their yard sales. And just something to think about. I don't know if there'd have to be a vote or whatever on that, but just something I told them I would throw it out and see what the response was.
I have seen that in other communities. I've seen it shared on social media where some communities will post like a weekend, like a Saturday or Sunday event. And that might be something that we could look into possibly doing.
Would it be any kind of responsibility on the city side for anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there would be some liability for us.
Yeah. That's the reason they stopped at the Sprinkle Field.
Anybody else got anything? Any motion?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.
No, not really.
It's too much. You know, I've been
it. Oh, yeah.
It's too much.
Hey, I think you're better than everybody here.
You bring yours, but
yeah, I think with everybody, I think it's kind of a
Yeah.
Okay. And imagine that you're not. Oh, yeah.